Like, I sure wish I had $1 million in my bank account. But last time I checked with a cash machine, I didn't. But it's conceivable that some wealthy benefactor has in the meantime, deposited huge amounts of money in my bank. That could have happened, right? There's no facts suggest it, but should I believe by faith that it did happen and go commit credit card suicide today? No. No, but Your Honor, I was only acting on faith. Yeah, shut up. Get out of here. All right, and so I suspect claiming by faith to leapfrog historical judgment, that's just cheating. You can't dignify that with the word faith. But at any rate, those are some of the issues involved. And once you see that it really is wide open, that the data in the Gospels could be historical material or might not be. The stuff attributed to Jesus might have been said by him, but might not have, or that there might have been a Jesus or not. A lot of things are possible. It's a question of how you're going to put the pieces of the puzzle together, because there are lots of ways. Two last little points I nearly forgot I should just toss in real quick. One of them is that this analogy thing goes about as far as you can go, namely, Jesus as a historical figure. What did Jesus even exist? Right? I belong to an outfit called the Jesus Seminar, and famously the Jesus Seminar discusses and debates and votes on every bit of the Gospels to see whether there's any consensus as to whether this story is historical, that saying is authentic or not. Virtually nobody in the group, except me and maybe one or two other weirdos, would broach the question of whether Jesus even existed. For them, the question is, oh, sure, he existed, but what exactly was he about? What did he do? What did he say? Good question, but I think you do have to raise the question seriously whether Jesus even existed, and it goes back to analogy. Because look at the whole life story of Jesus, the only place we read about it, the New Testament Gospels. What does it look like? Does it look like the life of an ancient historical figure, whether a conqueror or a philosopher, whoever was John Dominic Crossan said in the title of a famous historical Jesus book, a Mediterranean Jewish peasant? Does the story of Jesus in the Gospels look like any of those? Well, not really. We don't have anything in there about Jesus' socioeconomic status. We don't have anything in there about his education, his influences, even his appearance. There's just nothing in there of a secular, mundane sort of a nature, as you have with Abe Lincoln or Julius Caesar or something. Every bit of it is all this spectacular stuff, right? All of the events in the life of Jesus, from his coming down from heaven, His angel announcing his conception, his virgin birth, his wunderkind thing as a kid where he shows up all the temple elders and beats them in debate, his raising the dead and all the whole thing, you know, the whole nine yards, his rejection by the people that once cheered him on, his execution on a hilltop, even that detail, the empty tomb, the rising into heaven, appearances to people afterward. All of these things occur again and again worldwide as part of what they call the mythic hero archetype, an archetype that is a primordial image, just keeps coming up all over the place in all cultures. Well, what are you going to say? What is this analogous to? Is this analogous to an admittedly spectacular historical person like Alexander the Great? Or is it analogous to a myth like Hercules? You see where I'm headed with this. It may well be that there was a historical Jesus, but even that remains up for grabs. Highly dubious, because if there ever was, he's retreated so completely behind what I call the stained glass curtain of legend and myth that there's no way to know. Same thing with Moses and the Buddha. I have an article out in the next to last issue of Free Inquiry called Of Myth and Men, where I do a kind of quickie scrutiny of the Buddha, Muhammad, Jesus, Jesus and Moses and conclude that though you kind of have to, there is leftover data and enough secular mentions of Muhammad that he must have existed. With a Buddha, Moses, and Jesus, it's really guesswork. There's really no way to say. So could there have been? Maybe, but if so, nobody recorded any worthwhile data. Now, I said a moment ago that there, my last loose end, that there was an apparent exception to believing in the miracle stories. Just to show you one further wrinkle of the principle of analogy, and then I want to hear your questions and comments. Aren't there analogies to some of the things in the Gospels? That is, Jesus is shown healing the sick and casting demons out of people. That happens quite a bit in the Gospels. Doesn't that happen a good bit today? Well, yeah, it does. That's right. Whether you believe demons actually exist, and whatever you think are the causes of those diseases, the fact remains you can go to certain religious meetings and see people who seem to be, at least they think they're being healed of demons and of illnesses. Now, we can't be sure that the stories in the Gospels are any more provable there, but my point is, since this happens quite often today, if you look in the right odd corners, there's no reason to believe that Jesus could not have been known as a faith healer and an exorcist, right? I would say, yeah, that's certainly true. If there was a historical Jesus, it's quite likely that he understood himself to be an exorcist and a faith healer. So you see, it's not like historians have some kind of bias against odd things happening. If there was a historical Jesus, he probably did these things. Whether there were actually demons, that's a philosophical question that doesn't enter into this sort of a judgment, right? I'm just saying you would have seen the same kind of scenes, whatever the causation is. It is interesting to note, though, that virtually without exception, every illness the Gospels even claim that Jesus healed is in the list, in the diagnostic manual list of psychogenic illnesses and cures. Dropsy, eczema, blindness, deafness, muteness, all these things Jesus is said to have healed show up on that list. Jesus doesn't do stuff that he brings people back from the edge of being prematurely buried. He brings people out of comas and stuff. But there's no report in the Gospel that he put some guy's head back on, or that somebody brought him a jar of ashes and said, okay, raise this guy from the dead, right? There's no claim even in the Gospels of anything like that. So if you want to push this that far, you can say, well, yeah, scenes like this may well have occurred. But whether a guy named Jesus did them, or people began to attribute such deeds to him once there was a Christian God named Jesus, that's the difficulty. But the whole thing is, I'm not a Jesus atheist, I like that term. I believe Jesus didn't exist. I'm sort of a Jesus agnostic. I think one can never know, and just on the hope that he did, you can't say he did. He might have, he might not have. But enough of me. Any comments or questions? There's got to be some.
What made you change from being so, Christianity to now studying it objectively?
Well, actually, it was what's called apologetics, the idea of giving an apologia, a defense. I was real big into evangelism. I came from a Baptist church, and we were all made to feel guilty if we didn't go around witnessing. And so I carried that with me when I came here and was in the InterVarsity group, and often found it frustrating that I would set up campus evangelistic events, and I'd be about the only one participating in them. But the thing was, I knew that people I would talk to would have questions like, how do you know there even was such a Jesus? How do you know he rose from the dead, or that the Bible is the inspired word of God? And I figured, well, naturally, you know, I'm dealing with extraordinary claims here. I better have some good reasons to show that. you don't have to kiss your brain goodbye to believe this. And the more I got into it to try to show how reasonable it all was, after a couple of years, I began to, I was even going to a conservative evangelical seminary at the time, where I was swimming against the stream. The more I studied it, the more holes I began to find in it, and the more I began to understand what New Testament critics were saying, as opposed to the vilification I've always heard, right? Oh, these guys just don't believe a miracle can. I began to realize that wasn't the case, and I began to look at other figures like Jesus, recent and ancient, and realize, well, if you could argue the case with Jesus, you could argue it with half a dozen of these guys, and it doesn't really hold water. So essentially, I was thinking, I can't offer somebody an argument that I would not accept. So let me put myself in the shoes of the person I'm talking to. Would I think this was a convincing argument? And eventually I came to think, no, it does seem to me full of holes, and I had to be as honest as I had been asking the unbeliever to be. And I had to realize that I went through various types of liberal Protestant theology and still considered myself a Christian for many years. I even pastored a church here in town for some years, but it just eroded more and more. I kept thinking, you know, I'm really kidding myself, and I would see problem after problem. So I kind of got dragged kicking and screaming. But it never mattered that much, because I had been told by my faith that the truth is the most important thing, not some party line. So it was difficult, but I felt like, yeah, I have to change party lines rather than change the truth, as I see it anyhow. You got a question to you back there.
I was wondering, based on all this that you gathered, did you change your faith too? Or do you still believe, do you have to have some evidence to believe, or do you still believe in that?
Well, that's a different question, though I wound up not believing in one. I mean, because there's all kinds of options. Like, a lot of the people that argued, like Tom Paine and Ethan Allen and a lot of these guys that argue against the inspiration of the Bible, nonetheless believed in God and life after death, the deists, for example. For a long time, I had come to take a very critical eye toward the Gospels as history, but I kind of was a fan of Tillich and Bultmann and was still very much a Christian and believed in God, though I felt like, well, God's probably not a person like us, but that's not a bad way of talking about him. So I still was a theist, but eventually I just found conceptual problems with that. I began to think that if there really were a personal God who was in control of everything, would you see the things happening in the world that you do? And it just seemed kind of hollow to me after a while, and just not a viable idea, though I still remain a kind of respectful dissenter from belief in God. I don't pour scorn on it like the atheist fanatics like Madeleine Murray O'Hare, which nobody here remembers, I'm sure, dead before you were born, I still love religion. I'm fascinated by it. It's one of the most impressive creations of the human spirit, I would say, but I just don't believe in any kind of supernaturalism. Though again, that has nothing to do with historical method. It's eventually I